complex somewhere without his key card, so we're going to find him, but we're going to get started. We'd like to welcome everybody. Thanks for taking time to attend. We'll go ahead and on agenda item number two, we need to approve our minutes from the January 18 meeting. We've had a chance to review them. I'd look for a motion to approve. There's Mike. You made it.
You can't get anywhere with that.
Come on, dude.
You thought we changed the locks on it. Not yet. You still got a few months.
Yeah, not until December 31st. But then, gleefully, we will change the locks.
So I get in the door. I just put my bug in there. They let me in, but then I can't.
Then you're stuck. So, all right, we just got started. We just got a quorum. So, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
So moved.
We got a motion and a second. I think I heard them both. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you. All right. We've got to get some bills paid. King County, we've got to get them paid. Kathleen or Mike, I think you're both on this.
Do you
want to?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. I'll present because everybody has much known. So this was an appropriation. Actually, I stuck in your budget this year in the Appropriations Committee for their legal fees, but King County has been leading the charge on this case for lots and lots of years, and we've got what's called the Bellwether Road case. It's coming up in February, Tony?
Yes.
February. And so Sean Welch is the counsel that's the counsel for King County.
Sean's been with us many times.
With us for years and years and years, and this is to help them with their fees. It deals with deposing witnesses, all the background information, and we're doing a great job. I think we're going to win this case hands down. But, it's tapping
a. It's a lot of work. Next year is only going to be more.
So, I recommend that we approve it.
Okay. Any questions?
Is it all 2477, Mike?
Everything is 2477.
And it's $400,000 that we're prepared to give them if this committee votes yes.
Is the status of that litigation that it's back in federal district court in Utah, or is it still up at the 10th Circuit?
It'll be in Utah. Judge Wadich is the judge, and he's a really good judge.
Oh, I know him well. Yeah. Where we are.
I've never been to before a federal judge, so you've probably got a few times.
I've been in more trouble with the federal judiciary than you can shake a
stick. Brian's literally made a living in front of us.
Still am.
Anyway, this is where we picked out X number of roads that represent different types of situations. This road is a B road in a wilderness area. This road is a WSA. This road
I mean, I know that there's a ton of work that goes into that 2477 litigation, and it doesn't trouble me at all. I just want to make sure that it was all allocated to that we're talking about.
Tony, anything to add?
No. If anybody has any questions about where we are in that case, I'm happy to respond.
Okay.
Or you can grab him after the meeting and he can explain it in some depth.
Okay. All right. Seeing no more discussion, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the $400,000 to King County for the RS-4277 road litigation.
Thanks, Commissioner Brian.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 And any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Go ahead and cut the check. The only other item we have on the agenda is you again, Representative Noel, on the California coal excise tax.
This was another issue that came up before the legislature. There was a $1.65 million appropriation. Just a quick background, California has placed an excise tax. It's a penalty tax of $29 a ton on any coal electrons that come out of Utah. It's actually more detailed than that. Not only any electrons produced by coal, it's also electrons that are produced by natural gas. So even if we make our conversion from coal to natural gas, we're still going to get punished.
And actually, when is that going to affect?
It's gone into effect in 2 years. We're getting it right now,
okay.
Which has caused a huge reduction in the amount of power that IPP delivers to California. Alton Coal is off by over 50% from their coal supplies. This is just at the time when we just won the case, or not won the case, but we've just been approved to lease by application on the entire coal field in Alton, which would open up a tremendous amount of lands, public lands, and state trust lands for removal of coal. This is good quality coal. It would go directly to the IPP plant.
you know, the concern here, okay, there's one more part of this. Let's say that California wants to buy some of our solar power or geothermal power or wind power. If you take the wind power that's produced in Utah, but you replace that power with either coal or natural gas, you will then get the penalty on the wind power and the renewable energy. So it's a pretty egregious type penalty that California's placed. We think we've talked to General Farber about this and the AG's office. Sean got us lined up with him last week, and we went through this whole scenario. The CITLA, I talked to Dave here, they want to be a party in the case. That was a concern of do we have standing in the case.
Right. So CITLA would be a potential plaintiff.
And Dave here is willing to do that. I don't know how much farther, maybe Brian can weigh in on that part of it. But the exact case has already been prosecuted in the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals. North Dakota sued Minnesota over the very same issue. They won the case in the district court. They appealed to the 8th Circuit. They also won $1.3 million in their legal fees. They appealed that just last week or week before last. The 8th Circuit affirmed the decision. They have to pay the legal fees, the $1.3 million. So the case is pretty much identical to this. I went out and worked with a group called, a company called Snell Lumber, a law firm, and Denise Dragoo. They have actually got this law firm in North Dakota retained to be able to help and prosecute the case. And then this would be in California federal court and probably the 9th Circuit. And so we kind of had it teed up, and the governor's office has not allowed the appropriation to come forward. Now, my understanding was it had to do with an RFP, which I'm fine. Let's do the RFP. Yeah. Let's get moving, because this could have been done clear back at the end of the session, and we're still waiting on it. So maybe you could help us on that.
Okay.
The governor, if you could.
Yeah.
You know,
we had a discussion this morning, actually, about it with the AG's office, and getting the plaintiff is, you know, the legislature has weighed in, has appropriated money. We got to go through the hoops to get that out there, and part of that is, you know, who's going to be the plaintiff. Then we issue the RFP, and so the Dave York piece was the part we hadn't heard yet. That
he testified in committee that they're strongest.
That CITLA may be willing to do that. So the conversation we had this morning was we would go and have that sit down with CITLA.
I was scheduled to talk to the CITLA folks yesterday, but another issue came up that bumped it up to that now just after Labor Day visit with Dave. I saw him last Monday, and we visited about this. The issues we've got from the office's perspective is we've got to have a state actor, we've got to have the standing result, so we have a public entity involved, and then the RFP process.
So could the state CITLA be the state actor then?
I'm not prepared to say that at this point.
Okay.
But
I
mean, it's certainly closer than that? Where this has been.
Okay. So I think it is moving forward. So
well, the only thing I question that the state doesn't have input or have a standing in it, because the mineral money go to the state.
I think the
I don't understand that. I mean, that's what they kept saying.
Yeah, so
well, wait a minute, we're getting hundreds of million dollars in mineral lease royalties from federal land. And we got a state saying we're not going to take that because it's a fossil fuel. It just seems like there's no question that it's hurting people in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So I haven't heard that argument from the AG's office.
We just want to represent. We just need to saddle the right horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the old pony's been in the corral saddled up, for far as I'm concerned, since the end of March. So let's get her going. Okay.
I'll be in a meeting with North Dakota, and I'll visit with them about it, too.
Okay.
That's where I'm headed today. So
let me make sure that I understand. Is the lawsuit challenging the authority of California to levy an excise tax?
Yes.
That's an interstate commerce issue, Tony?
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about?
Plug.
It's preemptive.
Exactly.
That was the argument, I think, in the Minnesota case from.
And the status in terms of where we're at, Tony and Brian, is, I guess, we're preparing litigation, and there's been an appropriation, you say?
There's been an appropriation. I actually don't think it comes through this committee. We're having the discussion.
So is this just informational, Mike, or is there some information? Is there some action you're asking?
You're contemplating litigation. Nothing's been filed. We're still determining who the plaintiff should be, and but the RFP process is clear.
Okay.
It must go through an RFP process.
That was the issue. There was a request just for the appropriation. We said, this is where the governor's office stepped in and said, we can't do anything until we have, a state actor, we go through an RFP process. That's what we're just waiting to hear back from the AG's office on that's going to be and starting that.
I mean, the Eighth Circuit obviously isn't binding on what we're doing here, but what you're saying, Mike, is the Eighth Circuit has already ruled squarely in favor of the position that the state of Utah would be taking on.
Absolutely, that's right.
Correct.
So I wonder if, I think we ought to, and I'll, Tony, Brian, you and others would look at this, but I, as a steward of the state resources, it's hard for me to see that going forward when the Eighth Circuit's ruled the way that they've ruled. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, do we need to have the Tenth Circuit rule in on that? Maybe we do. Maybe we should.
I don't think it'll be the Tenth Circuit because we're going to have to file suit in California. It's going to be the Ninth Circuit.
Do we have any other pending litigation in the Ninth Circuit from other states?
I mean,
the Eighth Circuit, this was decided at the Eighth Circuit level, it's the same excise tax that we're talking about?
It's a different state.
Yeah. But it's an excise tax on the natural resources coming into their state that may come from another state, and that's the Interstate Commerce Clause.
For years, in North Dakota, and I've been to that, there are two or three of their power plants when I've been up there visiting, but they, all of the coal lignite is in there, and they ship the electricity to Minnesota. So that was the way. And so I remember the suit going on. They were talking about it. So I'll get an update on it.
Okay.
But it sounds to me like I didn't know this. I knew that they had won the first one, but I didn't know they had won the second. But I'll
that was like 4 days ago. That was more on my understanding from Denise Perdue, that was the money that they actually got the settlement on the $1.3 million.
The legal fees?
Yes. Yeah, $1.3 million in legal fees. The state of North Dakota did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
I think that's it, unless there's
belabor the point of a bit, but the meeting, but how many of you take this magazine or read the magazine?
I take it. I don't think I've seen that.
Okay, so this is the newest one, okay?
Yeah.
I just happened to be reading this the other day, and there's an article in there. I made a copy for everybody.
Thanks.
But it's an interesting article. Dave Skinner does a lot of research on it, but it affects myself, Representative Ivory, Sarah Fielder, and Brian Sinke. And this is the group, this guy by the name of Eric Kessler, that is stirring up all the problems for people in Utah. And it's a huge organization. Eric Kessler was a lobbyist in D.C., but it goes through and really puts all the pieces together. Have you heard of an organization called Western Values?
Yeah.
They've been after me and after lots of people. Well, this is the guy that's funding the money to Western Values. It comes out of a fund called the Arabella Legacy Fund, renamed the New Venture Fund in 2009. And the interest that I've got here, Tony, is they've been hijacking the off-road trails funding. They're taking it from the motorized users, the people that were still paying the gas tax, and they've been putting it into this organization. And they use that scheme to fund these organizations. And one of the main donors to this is our old friend, Hans-Jörg Wies. Do you remember Hans-Jörg?
Yeah.
Former chairman of the board of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, the president of his medical company, and then another few. But anyway, they started this thing in 2009 or 2006. And 10 years later, this new venture fund is a $371 million per year operation. It's larger than the Tides Foundation. It's larger than the Democratic National Party and the Republican National Party. And what's interesting is
it says, if you go back to the second page, this is what caught my attention. I didn't even know this was in there. It says, so Oracle, this is talking about Google and how they put money into it, and Western Values is zeroing in on Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinkley. They've got an office right in his hometown. It's the same organization, Western Values, that's asking for all the information from these counties and the state. Yeah. But look down here, it says, but through it all, even in 2015, the Campaign for Accountability miraculously found the time to apply its top frontier scandal mongering to a select handful of little-known yet troublesome Western state legislators.
Well, that's why I refer to you.
Montana State Senator Jennifer Fielder, plus Utah State Representatives Ken Ivory and Mike Noel. All three are feisty. Noel calls environmentalists rock lickers. You were there that day, right?
I was there.
Republicans.
So was my son on his birthday. Anyway, he'll never forget it.
Anyway, this is who's going after us, guys. These are the guys that...
This just
like
kind of lays up.
Monthly, never report in the newspaper. A 371 athlete don't report in the newspaper, but there it is right there. Right. That's the people that we're fighting. It's basically George Soros and the whole organization, but they have a ton of money, and they're able to make a lot of waves.
I'm glad to know that Republicans and conservatives don't have a ton of money, Mike.
All I know is, Ryan, that when it comes right to your own personal life, and when you have two senior inspector generals come to your office and interview you, then it gets personal, okay? Then when people file criminal complaints against you with no merit, then it gets personal.
You ought to come talk to my clients that I deal with every day.
Oh, that's good.
Every day.
You'd
realize a lot more acutely than I think you do the impact of big money and big power, concentrated economic power, on the lives of real people.
Hey, Brian, let me tell you something. You don't know how much I agree with you on a lot of this stuff.
I think we probably do.
Recognize that it is big money because the people that are funding it are not just they're Hewlett Packard, they're the Tide Foundation, they're big money people.
I will say this, I do have concerns about dark money on both the conservative side and on the liberal side. I think dark money, there's so much of it out there.
Mike, I think Citizens United is more supported by folks on your end of the political spectrum than mine.
I agree.
And that's the dark money that the government's talking about.
Not all of us, and not all of it.
This is huge. $371 million a year.
I believe it.
Yeah, no, it's ubiquitous. And
the big problem with it is, and why I brought Lieutenant Governors is, we've got to do something about the way our GRAMA program is hurting rural counties. I mean, they think rural counties can just stop every bit of work and go back. These guys asked for...
Are you proposing GRAMA reform?
Well, I'm proposing taking a look at it. I don't mind giving them everything. But I don't like to stop the entire operation and go back 14 years and have to pull up all this information and then do it for free for somebody I know that's not just saying, oh, this is in the public interest for him to bring up a bunch of lies. It's just total BS. Yeah. So anyway,
it can be abused for sure.
Totally. And it hurts rural Utah more than it does.
We've had people on the call. A couple of them had to drop off, but they would like to see a copy of this.
Sure.
Could you email a copy?
They can go online and get it. Okay. It's just called rangemagazine.com. Okay. Pull it up.
Do we get that, Mike? Is that sent to all the legislators? Do you know?
No.
It's
you
not.
You actually have to pay for this.
I don't believe it.
Kathleen, I have a copy.
Yeah, we'll scan it and get it out to those on the phone, and I'll let people know.
Scan that.
Bring that up.
Very, very interesting.
I like the magazine. I get it. I read it. It talks about issues that farmers and ranchers, that's kind of their focus, are facing across the country, but mostly in the West where the biggest issues are. So, yeah, good stuff. Okay, thank you. Anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. Somebody's got to get on the road. Second? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Stand adjourned. Good weekend, guys.
Thanks, guys.
I understand. You are going to be.